You're listening to How You Doin' Bay County, a Mental Health Matters podcast with a local twist. Hey, how you doing, Bay County? I'm Amy Bright, Executive Director of Alignment Bay County, otherwise known as ABC. Co-hosting with me today is ABC board member, and community advocate, Sonia Coldwell. Hey, Son.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You know, before we jump into today's topic and episode, I wanted to talk about how this podcast came to be. How You Doin' Bay County is an initiative by Alignment Bay County, and we are a local, nonprofit, collective impact organization. We're focused on youth success from cradle to career. And one way we do that is by supporting families and our community as a whole. Our community has faced a couple of huge traumatic events over the past couple of years. We all know a hurricane and a global pandemic. And one thing that we and our partner organizations observed was that after these traumatic events, children and adults struggled with their mental health and positive well-being. The other thing that we noticed is friends, acquaintances, neighbors asking each other the question, "How you doing?" That question inspired us to create a local mental health resource. First, a website, howyoudoin.org, which has a local behavioral health directory as well as other resources. And second, this podcast. Our goal is to make finding behavioral health resources easier for our community and bring awareness that your mental health matters.
On today's episode, we're talking with Kelly and James from the LGBT Center. How you doing?
I am doing awesome today. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and to be able to talk about the center.
And how about you, James?
I'm doing great. I am so happy the weather finally cleared up. The sun is out. It's warming up a little bit. And I got to do yard work for the first time yesterday. So that makes me happy.
Wow. All right. Well, really, James, right. I live in Lynn Haven and my yard could use some attention.
No. I might be in Lynn Haven too, maybe.
And you know, when we're talking about the sun, I just want to throw that in, is that the sun does put us in a better mood.
Absolutely.
It does. You know,
and we have had a lot of rain the last few weeks.
It does. Yeah, it does definitely make a difference. Okay, so let's get into, and it's the LGBTQ plus center,
yes.
Or let's talk about terms, because I, you know, and sometimes when we talk about it, sometimes I notice the Q and the plus, you know, if you just shorten to LGBT, all of that. So let's, Sonia and I don't like to talk in acronym soup. So let's, if you guys will just explain maybe to us and people that are listening, what that stands for, what it means, so everyone, you know, isn't intimidated by the acronym.
You want to take this, Kelly?
Sure. The LGBTQ stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, intersex, asexual, and it really could go on and on. There are a lot of acronyms that are used to describe the people under the umbrella, is what we say.
Okay. So is that where the plus comes in then? Is
plus,
just sometimes...
yes, includes that and I think allies as well. Like I right. consider myself an ally and I am here within that community to support and do anything I can to help the kids in our community that need the help.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you for answering that. Yeah.
I'm just questioning. That's something new I've been seeing in the literature. I didn't see the word questioning with LGBT before. What is that new word about we're seeing now? I hadn't seen that, really.
It's really been around for a while.
Okay.
And basically, it means someone who doesn't know who they feel like, how they are. They don't know if they're gay or if they're lesbian or if they're transgender. They're questioning where they belong. Am I correct?
Yeah. And coming out is a long process. It doesn't happen overnight, you know. So you can have young people from 13 years old to, you know, older people in their 40s and 50s who are still questioning their sexual orientation and their gender identity. You know, you have a lot of people who, let's say, get married and have a heterosexual marriage and then later on in life kind of discover that they're not heterosexual anymore or that they are transgender, and that's when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
So The questioning part is just trying to be inclusive. The plus part is also trying to be as inclusive as possible. So we don't want to deny anybody ownership of their own identity by making them, forcing them to have a label. So questioning is perfect. Just kind of like part of giving you a label, but not identifying it specifically.
Okay, just saying I'm in the community.
That's yes.
right.
I identify with this community.
Absolutely. Yes.
That was a great question, Sonia. Thanks for asking it. Okay, and then before we start talking about the center also, I did want to say that, you know, we need to acknowledge that, you know, being a member in that community, LGBTQ plus, it's not a mental illness. And I think that that's a myth that we want to help keep dispelling. That's the purpose of the podcast, is dispel, you know, mental health myths and taking away that stigma.
So according to the American Psychiatric Association, being LGBTQ is not a mental health disorder. All professional mental health organizations have affirmed that homosexuality is not a mental health disorder. And being transgender or gender variant is not a mental health disorder and does not imply impairment in judgment, stability, reliability, or general social or vocational capabilities. So it's just not.
It's just not. And I think, you know, part of the reason that comes up is that in the past it has been, you know, I think I read in the 50s and 60s was designated as a mental illness, but it's not.
It is
and
not.
It's gone. And
it is gone.
And we want to make sure that people understand that. That's
correct.
It's an important thing to talk about. All right. So let's move on to the center. Tell us all about it, what you do there.
I want to start.
All the things.
I want to start with the center exists to create a world where a person does not have to fear the consequences of their gender and sexual orientation or suffer the damaging effects of shame. We are the first of its kind organization in the Panhandle of Florida designed to meet the specific needs of the LGBT community. We are awesome.
Yes.
And how do people find out about you? Like, say, a new person that comes to the community.
Absolutely. Just go to the LGBTQCenterofBayCounty.org, and everything basically is listed that way. If you want to get in touch with someone, it's info@LGBTQCenterofBayCounty.org. If you want to get in touch with me, it's Kelly at that same address, which is K-E-L-L-E-Y, or James. It's James at that address.
So do you guys do like, you know, meetings? Monthly
are you?
Meetings
oh, let's. It, what are your rules here at this? Now, you're both volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about your involvement at the center, and if you want to share how you became involved with
sure.
the center.
I'm a registered nurse, and when I did most of my career in psychiatric nursing years ago, there was this one person that came in for treatment, and I was young, and this one person was in the hospital for being suicidal, and they had recently come out to their family, their friends, their religious community. And as a nurse taking care of that person, I couldn't wrap my head around the reason that they were suicidal was because no one at all supported them. Not one friend, not one family member, and not anyone at all in their church community. And I just couldn't wrap my head around it. I thought, why is this happening? And I said to myself, one day I'm going to go and I'm going to help that group of people. So that's why I'm there. How about you, James?
So basically, I've lived here my entire life. And growing up here back in the 70s and 80s as a young, I will say, gay boy who was questioning at the time. There we go.
Okay, there we
with
go.
The questioning. And again, I never had any resources. I never had anyone I could talk to. I didn't have a support group. My family was kind of on the fence about being supportive. No one at school talked about it, even though I was bullied probably more days than not in middle school and high school. So I guess at some point, you know, growing up, finding the support system that I needed and finding the people who really had a tremendous impact on me made me want to give back to my community. And fortunately, I had the opportunity when the center opened about 2 years ago. And I'd always told myself that if there was some kind of volunteer position I could do, that I would do it. So saw something on the news and called the number, and, you know, 2 years later, here I am.
Here you are. So what are you? What is your role at the center?
So first and foremost, I'm the youth coordinator. I run the youth group. We have a weekly youth group that meets every Monday from 5 to 7. The kids, probably the 13 to 18 is our age group, and we probably have usually around 15, sometimes up to 20 kids that attend regularly every Monday. And I've been volunteering with the youth group pretty much since the beginning. And then recently I also just stepped up and became the treasurer for the center as well. So math is not my game, but I'm learning really, really fast, really, really fast. But so those are my two roles there.
That's great. Okay, so let's since you started talking about the youth group, let's jump into the programs that are there and the support that you provide at the center. So the youth group we've talked about is you said ages 13 to 18. And they can just come. It just attend.
Absolutely. It's an open group, so you're willing to come whenever you want. You don't have to attend. I always tell the kids that your attendance is not mandatory, but it's certainly appreciated. Uh-huh. Same with participation. New kids tend to be very shy and quiet. Again, your participation is not mandatory, but it's very much so appreciated. And as time goes on, they tend to become a lot more open and a lot more become part of a cohesive group. And, you know, since probably December of 18, after the hurricane, something happened with the Christmas parade where the center had afloat in the Christmas parade and our numbers exploded. And so we have kids that have been with us pretty much since. On every Monday that we show up, they are there regularly.
And that's great.
Do you facilitate some type of conversation each week, or okay, how does that work? What happens? I think I was at a presentation once and someone said, "What do you teach the kids at the center?" And it wasn't, you know, well, you know.
Well, are you dealing with their challenges more so? Do you let them bring up the issues or?
So, yes, to all of it, right? Uh-huh. So typically it's a 2-hour meeting. The first hour I try to keep the discussion centered upon LGBTQ issues, whether it be personal to them or whether it be something that's happening in the news or something that's happening in politics. And so I always open up the discussion like, hey, you know, how are you doing? How are you doing? And I would say sometimes they will kind of step up and bring up conversations that they need to discuss. And some of it will be stuff that's happened, issues that's come up with their families, issues that's come up with their friends, something that's happened in school. But if they don't have something that they want to talk about, I try to bring a topic for us to discuss, like I said, that kind of either deals with something like locally or something nationally or something globally. I warn them that if it's up to me, it's usually going to be politically based. And they're not remotely concerned about politics at their age. So I fall flat all the time. But that gives them motivation to come and hopefully have some kind of discussion that they want to talk about.
Well, now, do you give them any coping skills? Like you said, when you were in middle school and high school, you were bullied a lot. And I know you learned some things from that process. Do you give them tools or coping skills to use?
So really, my role in the youth group is as a facilitator. I don't want to necessarily provide them with coping skills when their peers can. And so I kind of prompt other people to kind of help with the discussion and give their insight and give their perceptions into what's going on.
To learn
and
from each other.
Yes. And my goal is to let them teach each other. And then I'm just kind of there to make sure that the information they're giving is correct. Or if they have a question that nobody else has the answer to, then hopefully I can answer that for them. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I think learning from your peers sometimes is much more powerful than.
Yeah, because technically we are a peer support group, right?
Right.
And that's how I want the group to be facilitated. I want them in control of it. I mostly will kind of just stand back and watch. And then if somebody has their hand up and wants to speak, I'll let them speak. But I take a very laissez-faire stance to it as much as I possibly can.
Now, can I ask, do parents need to give permission to their children to attend? Is that a topic
a
that comes up? I'm just asking to ask. I think some people might ask. I mean, for me personally, yeah, I wouldn't care. But
that is a perfect question. And actually, I did have to research this last week, as a matter of fact. In the state of Florida, so reminding everybody that laws change from state to state, but currently in the state of Florida, at the age of 13, you do not need your parents' permission to be anywhere. As long as you're abiding the laws, you know, so curfew is still at 9 p.m., I believe. You're not doing anything, any illegal activity. You don't need permission. So kids are able to attend the group without their parents knowing. And I would say that most of our kids have supportive parents that do bring them. And then those who don't will usually get a ride from somebody else and attend the group. So, but no, you do not. And I kind of want to follow up on this, and I'm not sure if anybody before had mentioned this, but also at the age of 13, you don't have to have parental permission to seek out mental health.
Oh, counseling. Okay.
That is great to know.
I did not know that. I honestly did not know that. Now, there's some guidelines that you have to follow that the state has set, but as long as you and the therapist are following those guidelines, you can receive mental health without your parents' permission.
And one of the things that I do is I help the center hook up kids that need mental health counseling with the counselor that we work with.
Oh, and is that a free?
The center pays for this service. So the center, gets money and fundraises and uses money for a variety of things to help the community. But that's one of the ways they spend their money.
So if someone says, I need more.
Absolutely.
Than this.
I have people call all the time to say, hey, I want counseling for my daughter or for myself and my daughter or my trans kid. And we hook them up.
So you have partnerships with
Absolutely.
Many of the organizations around town.
We try to make as many as we can.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Well, that's really great. And so what are some of the other groups involved at the center? Is it more than just the peer group? Is
yes.
that right?
So the youth group is what started, and we've kind of started branching out since then. The newest group, which we've updated, is now called the non-binary and trans support group. Okay. That's really for any adult 18 and older. It can extend to any age. This replaced our young adult group.
Okay.
So we started that. We had a trans group before that didn't really take off as well as we wanted it to because of the hurricane, I think, had the biggest impact.
Sure.
So we just recently, within like the last month or so, restarted that. And the turnout's been so far so good.
Okay.
Can you define non-binary and trans? Because I really don't know.
Okay. Another great question. I like you guys. I gotta say that.
We like you too.
You ask the right questions. So, okay, one thing I always try to make clear to those people who don't have a solid understanding of the LGBTQ community is that I stress that sexual orientation and gender identity are separate terms. They do not necessarily correlate with each other and cross over with each other. So sexual orientation implies who you are sexually and or romantically attracted to. That can be heterosexual, meaning that you are attracted to the opposite sex, or it can be homosexual, which means you're attracted to the same sex. And then non-binary, we've now kind of like learned that non-binary can be, we use it as an umbrella term, which really will cover every kind of gender identity out there. And trust me, guys, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There are a lot of gender identities out there. So let's say trans falls under that non-binary umbrella. And the definition of that would be that you were born with a specific sex biology, but uh-huh. you do not identify with that biology. Uh-huh. You identify with the opposite biology. And then, so trans, and then you have like gender fluid, where you don't necessarily completely feel totally male or female. You kind of can bounce back in between depending on how you wake up that day.
And let me ask you that. Is that somewhat, do you guys feel in some ways trendy? You see it among the young actors and actresses. I see them using that term quite a bit. So not to downplay it, but I do see it in the entertainment. You know, they throw that out there to keep it open. Or is that just a way to
with
keep
our
everything
kids,
open?
Yeah, I think with our kids, I don't see that personally.
Okay.
I don't ever see a kid coming in there to to look for attention in that way. We see kids that are truly depressed, truly have a lack of support. So I haven't seen it in this area myself.
And another thing that kind of validates what Kelly just said, though, is that when they come, they have educated themselves far more than I ever would have expected. They know what these terms are, and they are very comfortable using these terms. So, you know, I kind of agree, like I did agree at one point with you saying, like, is this a fad? Is this a trend? I'm not so sure, because it was all of a sudden
like a pop culture kind of thing.
Explosion, too, especially locally. But then I started meeting these kids and I'm like, no, this is who they are. They just have the resources and access
now
to the education that helps them kind of formulate their identities at a young, way younger age than I think when I was growing up.
But they're investigating it much earlier than we did.
Well, and they have access, I think, to information. Well, I mean, then, much earlier than we. I mean, they all have phones in their hands,
right,
you know.
Right. And then also, though, when you do see, like, celebrities coming out as gay, bisexual, transgender, it gives them a sense of belonging. It gives them a sense of normalcy. It gives them a sense like, hey, if they can do it, maybe I can too.
Right.
You know, so that helps a lot. So I'm actually very proud and happy when a celebrity comes out. And I don't feel like necessarily their agenda is to be part of this new mainstream. It hopefully is them coming out, being true to themselves, and then other people in society seeing them and feeling a sense of belonging and normalcy.
Yeah, I know Gabrielle Union, her husband, Dwayne Wade, they have the son that has changing sex to a daughter or whatever, but that child has had so much support and following, and that's a big time, you know, masculine basketball player, but supporting his child all the way through in the Black community.
And I praise him for that. That's just a wonderful thing.
Exactly. And we were talking about earlier about the differences economically sometimes. Sometimes when we see socioeconomically, maybe in a poor community, a minority, we were talking about the difference in statistics and the higher rates of suicide. When you're in a supported environment, and maybe like you were saying, they have more resources, you do see sometimes a little different outcome in some cases.
I agree. I think your socioeconomic status has a huge impact on what your coping skills can be or will be. I think that you know, like you said, within like the Black community, coming out is a huge issue here locally.
Because of religious implications.
Exactly. And not just within the African-American community, with the Hispanic and Latino communities, you know, with the Asian communities. And a lot of that is based on religious affiliations. And especially here in the South, religion is big here.
The Bible Belt.
You know, I think it's really, really important for parents and other adults to remember, you don't have to buy into it. You don't have to believe about it. But if a child comes to you and says, I need help, don't put that child down. You don't have to put your beliefs onto that child.
Just give them the support.
Bring them to the center. Call up the center and we'll take care of it. We'll help. Everything. We do everything to make, you know, that child feel better.
You do parent and child support
together. Well, we can, you know, we can refer to a counselor for that. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
So that is another program that we've been in the talks of trying to formulate. Again, Hurricane Michael kind of waylaid that program. However, hopefully when I'm starting to hear a lot more parents who have kids who come to the center ask for these support groups. So hopefully we'll start kind of getting that together and have that up and running this year.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important. I know my daughter has some friends that I identify, you know, in all different ways. And we'd been together and had taken them out to lunch and shopping and stuff. And you know, and one of them tried to, I don't know, offend me. I felt like, you know, she was kind of assertive and kind of an aggressive way, and I just said something, you know, kind to her, and you know, something else, and you know, was accepting of her, and it just changed her completely. It changed our day together, and it really just struck me as, you know, it just, you know, what do you just love these kids, you know? Right. I mean, that was, you know, because this is a girl that it doesn't have, you know, acceptance and support from home. And it just really,
What I was going to say is it sounds like this person is constantly on the defensive.
Right. That's
the
defensive.
Especially with other adults.
Right. Yes. And so that's it's exactly right, James.
You're going to be the same as
yes,
every other adult.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, and now it's, you know, driving through the school pickup line and they are, you know, leaning all over the place just to make sure I see and we wave.
You know, one of the ways you can let your friend, your kids' friends know that you're a safe person is when you meet them by saying, "Hey, Kelly, what are your pronouns?" And it tells them automatically. I see kids like come back and they'll be like, "Oh my gosh, they asked what my pronouns were. That's awesome. They know where they can go if they need something."
That's a great tip. I will definitely use that in the future. I think that would.
I'm noticing that on LinkedIn. You'll see behind it says his, her. Pronoun she, he, and that was new to me also. Yeah. I'm seeing people connect with that more.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes I wear my little pin that says she, her, because then people know that I'm supportive.
And it's not fair to assume someone's gender identity based on their appearance because, you know, like I said, gender identity is on a very broad spectrum, and they may feel internally masculine but present externally feminine, but still want you to refer to them as he and him.
Right.
So it's just kind of a more proactive stance on kind of just getting to know someone better.
Well, you know, one thing I wanted us to talk about was, you know, the impact on the teens and their mental health with, you know, trying to, you know, not being supported. And some of the details that I was reading were really surprising to me. And I was kind of curious if you see some of the same trends here in Bay County with the LGBTQ plus teens, if they've are more likely to experience depression, that they feel more suicidal, they are more likely to attempt suicide. And then adults too. I read that 48% of transgender adults have considered suicide, which I think is very, very alarming. And then overall, just more likely to suffer some depression and anxiety, maybe even have PTSD from traumatic events where they've been bullied or physically attacked. Eating disorders and substance abuse. Do you see that here with our LGBTQ community?
Pretty much yes to all of the above.
And it's been rough for them after the hurricane and the pandemic and being isolated. What are they saying to you guys right now?
So last night we actually had our meeting, and currently because of COVID, we've been doing it on Zoom. But I told them specifically, this is what I was doing today, and I need your input because I don't want to answer for you. I want to answer on behalf of you, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I asked was, did identifying within the LGBTQ umbrella, does it make you feel like your risk of suicide attempts have increased? And pretty much across the board, all of them said yes. I did not further that question to see if anybody had attempted, but they all said, and so I furthered it by asking them why, how did it increase? What changed? What made you feel like suicide could be an answer? Depression, number one, anxiety, number two. Depression is because of, you have, like I said, the lack of support systems, you know, and who are supposed to be your absolute number one support system when you're young is your parents. And a lot of them have parents who may not be 100% on board, who tend to be very critical about the decisions they make or their appearance that day or stuff like that. You know, within like their friends, they also kind of isolate from like the larger part of the schools, because they're constantly being teased and picked on and bullied at school. So, and anxiety, when I followed up with their issues with anxiety, a lot of that is caused by fear. And it was like an aha moment for me because it's more like a duh moment, really, right? And because they're scared. They want to. They know who they are. They want to talk to their parents about it, but they're so scared of being rejected. that they don't. So that anxiety just builds and builds and builds, you know, compounded with the depression, compounded with Hurricane Michael, compounded with COVID. And for some, it's too much to handle.
And I want to interject here. We've learned from several other specialists that it's okay to ask your children if they're feeling depression. I think so many parents, so many adults feel like if I ask them that question, they're going to go commit suicide. No, it's been statistically proven that when children are asked about depression, the statistics are no higher from them carrying it out. So parents, you do want to have this conversation.
Absolutely.
You do want to see where they're feeling, if they're feeling a sense of hopelessness. You do want to ask the question. Even when my kids were younger and I started hearing about it, I wanted to avoid the question a little. I was scared to bring it up. And so I just want to share that. That's something I've learned from this show through Mental Health Matters.
I used to teach suicide awareness classes. And one of the things that we would say is that it actually reduces their stress level when you ask them that question, because they feel a sense of release. Oh, you finally realized.
Yeah.
You finally noticed that I am in need of help. And they feel relieved. And they also feel that way at the center. They have peers who are around them, and they feel that loving support and non-conditional support where everyone is okay with you as a human being.
Yeah, and you know, and sometimes in the youth group, any topic is up for grabs. I really do not try to limit what they want to talk about. And even in the youth group, suicide is not a topic that tends to come up that often, which I'm very surprised about. And when I ask them why they don't really want to talk about it, it kind of, they feel like this is their safe space. This is where they don't feel suicidal.
That's
don't bring it here
thinking.
Right now. Uh-huh. It's like, this is where what I go home to, but uh-huh. Let me have this.
Yeah.
So it, and one statistic that I was researching is that is crazy alarming, is that suicide is the number three cause of death for LGBTQ youth 13 to 17.
Absolutely.
And that's horrible.
It's awful.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's something where I think as a parent, you have a moment where you can intervene and help.
It really stems from lack of support from the parents. So when your kid comes to you, Bay County, and says, I am LGBTQ, whatever, please don't tell them that they need to get out the door. You've got to go and get support for that child. What is more important to you? Is your child more important to you? Or do you want to see that child die by suicide?
Oh.
Think about that when you prepare your response to your child. You just cannot do that.
And another thing that I want to add to what Kelly said is also as a parent, remind yourself that if your child does come out to you, if your child expresses to you, I have issues with depression, I have issues with anxiety, that conversation is not about you as the parent. That conversation needs to focus on your child. A lot of parents will feel a guilt when their child comes out with any kind of issue, and they feel responsible for that. It's like, no, it's not you. It's your kid. Your kid was born this way, and they're trying to figure out who they are. So you just have to be the supportive parent. Don't question your parenting techniques at that moment.
Right.
No, let it go. Let it go for a second.
Yeah. So now for people who are listening and they're thinking, you know, how can I help? What can I do to support the youth in this community? What can I do?
You can definitely volunteer.
Yes.
We always, always need volunteers at the center. And you can go to the website to look into that. You can make donations. You can educate yourself. You can contact the center to get some education if you're looking for education. You can try that when you meet people saying that, hey, what are your pronouns? That makes people understand that you are a safe place. What else, James?
Well, education is my number one thing. That's what I tell the kids all the time, is that, like, unfortunately, as much as I know you don't want to have the conversation every day, it is your obligation to educate people within this community. So for adults out there, educate yourselves. It's not that difficult. There's resources everywhere.
What are some sources, or reliable sources of education that people could turn to? Are they online, or there's some websites they can look at? Or
so PFLAG has a national
PFLAG?
So it stands for Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays.
Okay.
And you can find a lot of information on there. For youth, traversespace.org is a really, really good website you can go to. It is for youth ages, I believe, 13 to 24. They have online chat forums, discussion boards. They try to connect people online virtually to discuss anything that they want to discuss. And then there's also qchatonline.org. And it's another online forum. It's an online chat forum for kids that go on. And they actually run it where they have a weekly meeting at a certain time that you can attend via the chat room.
How about podcasts like ours? Are there any podcasts that the kids can listen to?
They know so much more about
podcasts
than I do. Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know of any specifically, but I'm sure that the kids in my youth group know a ton of them.
Well, that's a question for next week, Jason.
Absolutely.
I want to ask, so through the schools, is there any partnership with Bay County Schools where the kids can go to their guidance counselor and get a brochure or get any information about the LGBT Center?
Okay. Well, recently, Bay District Schools did a training. We are so thrilled. They did a training with some of their guidance counselors and some of their social workers. The training was provided by Equality Florida. And it was a gateway to help these teachers know where to get support or how to look out for LGBTQ kids that might have a need. And that is just such a wonderful thing. We're so excited about that. Also, we have gay straight alliances called GSA clubs at four of the local high schools. They're located at Mosley, Bay High, Rutherford, and Arnold. And it's pretty easy to get a GSA at your school. What you need to do is have a student that's interested and a staff member that's willing to be the support person. And
so just like a normal club at a high school.
Just like a normal club at a high school. Absolutely.
You know, a student that wants to get it going, a staff member that will sign off the adult piece, and
that's how it works.
What is that acronym one more time?
The
Gay Straight Alliance.
Gay Straight Alliance. Yeah, GSA clubs.
Okay. Yeah, and then once we even started the center and the youth group, we were trying to get our information out to each individual school, and working with people at the school board and the district office, we're now able to, guidance counselors are now able to pass out information about us. I actually just had a youth join our group last night that got one of our cards and wanted to
attend. It's working.
It's working. And that made me so happy.
Yeah.
And really, what makes me even happier is it's from a school that I've never had a student come from before. So
that's exciting.
That is the word is getting out. And there are definitely kids everywhere who want the information. Now they have access to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So.
And you've got one big event coming up that I know that
do.
Kelly wants to share,
and
I want you to share about it too.
Prom.
It's really fantastic.
So the center had our first annual prom last year, and it was amazing. It was at the barn at the Wicked Wheel. We love those guys over there. And all the kids that are in the GSA clubs at the local high schools come, and they can invite someone as a guest, or a couple of people as a guest to go to prom. Also, any of the people that come to the center are welcome to go to prom. And basically, it's just like prom, except there's nobody judging you for any reason. And last year, when we had this event, we had some of the adults with tears in their eyes. Honestly, I felt a tear in my eyes. I was really proud that we had put so much effort into this event. And the kids, if you could have seen their eyes when they got there and they saw that this event was just for them, it wasn't about anything else. Didn't matter what you wore, didn't matter who you brought. It was just an amazing time for these kids, and they love prom. This year it's going to be a little bit different because we're going to do it over the summer because of COVID. We're going to do a summer pride beach party this year. It's going to be on June 12th. So stay posted.
And that sounds fun.
We look forward to having this. It's a great event.
And also for the kids, they don't need to pay anything. Our services are 100% free to anybody who's seeking them out. With prom, come as you are, come dressed as you want, be whomever you want to be, dance with whomever you want to dance with. You know, that's why we do this, is that so they have a specific event where they can be everything who they are and not fear judgment.
Love it.
Well, you guys, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Educating us and sharing with us about the center. I think it's an important conversation to have, because these kids, you know,
absolutely,
they need the support.
So if you need more info,
yes,
go to the LGBTQ Center of BayCounty.org, and you can find us all there.
And my line is, for more information about today's episode and other resources, visit our website at howyoudoin.org, or you visit the ABC Facebook page.
And I just wanted to reiterate, the LGBTQ Center of the Bay County operates the only dedicated, all-inclusive, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, and straight allied youth program in the panhandle of Florida.
Yay.
So that's really huge, guys.
Yay.
In the whole panhandle, we've got the LGBTQ plus. And I just want to say thank you again to Callie Kasperi and James Vertree.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Friends, thank you for listening. Our community has been through a lot. It's so important for us to check in on each other. When you see your neighbor, friend, coworker, whoever, we encourage you to take the time to ask them, how you doing?
How You Doing Bay County is meant for informational purposes only and should not be substituted for mental health care from a licensed professional. And last but not least, this podcast is produced by the talented students in the digital media program at Gulf Coast State College.